Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Good morning, Dr. Nina Burns.
Good morning, Ryan.
Once again, we hit the road and once again you stay at home.
I know, and it's my fault this time. You did very kindly invite me, but unfortunately I had other commitments after this morning, so I couldn't come.
Yeah, you're kind of a big deal around that part of the world, aren't you? That's what you're trying to tell me.
I don't know about that, but I'm very busy.
Yeah. So have you had your summer holidays yet, or what's the crack?
No, I'm actually taking the last week in July and the first week in August from work. But I actually, Ryan, have no plans, and I'm loving the fact that I have no plans.
Sometimes you need that, which is a stay at home, get stuff done, chill out, go to the shop, get up in your own bed and not be running around airports and boats and everything else in between.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, my life is timetabled from 6 a.m. till about 9 p.m. nearly all the time. So to think that I'll have 2 weeks without a timetable is lovely. I mean, we will do stuff. We'll probably, you know, go away in Ireland for a couple of days.
And yeah.
I told the kids we'll be tourists in Dublin for a few days. We're going to do the tourist sites in Dublin, which we've never done. And just enjoy time with them, you know.
The National Museum is lovely to bring in, and that's free. And the National Library is free. And also the, which is not free, but it's great fun, is the Viking Splash.
Well, actually, that is definitely on my list. That's one of the ones I definitely want to do. Dublinia is the other one.
Yeah. The Splash I did for the first time recently, but you need to go. The lesson is, and I thankfully did it, which is to go online and book it. You can't just arrive on the street.
I heard that. The only thing I'm worried about Ed, like he's two. How will he be on the boat?
No, funny enough, the splash bit is really calm. You just roll in, and there's no sense of it, of drama. So it's really straightforward.
Okay.
The other one I haven't done, which I think you might like to do, is the 1916 bus tour. You go on an old military
tour. I've heard that's
amazing,
actually.
That looks good too. So there's loads of stuff to do.
No, exactly. And they actually, I was surprised. The kids were kind of excited at the idea. They're like, we want to go here and we want to go there. They've come up with a list of things they want to do. So on the plan.
Yeah, and the as part of the, because I went into town with the Girtles and get the bus in.
Well, actually, they want to go on the Lewis. Do you know my children have never been on the Lewis?
Well, now it's not a thing now for the children never to be on the Lewis.
They're
now,
so excited.
Then if you want to head out for the hills, Wicklow Jail is brilliant.
I actually did that. I had cousins over from the States. It's well worth doing. They really enjoyed it. We went and did that a while ago.
What's really good also is the Sugarloaf, to do a walk up the Sugarloaf and down with a picnic is good.
The 2-year-old is the problem.
Forget about it. Mount Usher Garden's beautiful.
Yeah, I've been down there, definitely on the list again, yeah.
That's a good one to do.
They'll give you a job in Board Fulcher, really. Discover Ireland, isn't it?
It's just there's so many good places to go. If you want to go local to Dublin, and then, of course, we all know about the Wild Atlantic Way, and now here we are in Dundalk, and we know the country so well now.
Exactly. Well, you certainly do anyway, Ryan.
Here we go. Nina, something I've been worried about says a text, but I'm not sure whether it's serious or not. My tongue seems to be split in places at the sides and the tip. There's a bit of a white coating on it, and it's a bit rough. Is there anything I should take for it, or should I go and see somebody about it?
Well, I think we've spoken before about tongue issues. I mean, sometimes it can be thrush and it's important to examine. But we did talk a bit about a thing called geographic tongue before, where you get this, it almost looks like your tongue is a map and it can look inflamed and cracked. And to be honest, there isn't really anything wrong with your tongue, and some people just have this. But obviously, any problem with the mouth, and I think we said it before, is your dentist is the first place to visit, because obviously oral hygiene is their area. Generally, just making sure you clean your teeth and gums regularly, but don't use anything with too much alcohol or anything, which can irritate the mouth as well. And if your teeth and gums are okay and it's not necessarily thrush, then really just keep an eye on it. Any ulcers or anything that aren't healing most definitely need to be looked at.
Okay, my daughter, says the text, has a sore foot and is limping on the side of her foot. Do I take her to the A&E, or do you think it's sprained? She has no bruises or swelling. It happened last Friday as she was dancing at dancing class. She's 10 years old.
So what I'd say is bring her to your GP. I wouldn't go straight to A&E with that, because the majority of these kind of injuries are sprains and don't actually require a trip to A&E. Your GP would be well able to examine her.
Clogging up the A&Es.
Well, no, not clogging, but also that kind of injury is the kind of injury you'll be left waiting hours with, because clearly if someone comes in with chest pain or something ahead of you, they're going to be seen quicker. But, you know, your GP can examine you, and if you do require an X-ray, which in the majority of cases for sprain you don't, but if you do, your GP can refer you directly for an X-ray. So my advice would be go to the GP. Giving some Nurofen or Calpol, or, you know, to see if it helps a little bit, isn't a bad idea. Putting ice, the usual, what we could talk about, rice, rest, ice, elevation, can help as well.
Nina, I'm 35 years old, slim, fit, two children, trying for a third child for 2.5 years. I've had an ultrasound to check reproductive organs and got my tubes washed out and they both look normal. What's the next step? We conceived our two kids naturally, aged 28 and 30. Can stress be a cause of infertility? That's a good question.
So there's quite a few questions in there. So I'm going to start with the first one. If you are over the age of 35 and you've been trying for longer than 6 months to conceive, it is time to consider being referred to a specialist. Now, it sounds like you've already seen a specialist because you've had an ultrasound and it sounds like you've had a laparoscopy looking at your tubes. I'll assume in there that there's also been swabs to check for chlamydia and that. I hate to bring that up, but it's one of the things that can affect fertility. Your hormone levels, there are blood tests that should be done to check your hormone levels and a simple test like your thyroid, which can throw off fertility. And then answering that last question, absolutely yes, stress can affect fertility because it changes our hormones and it can affect ovulation. So I would go to your GP, have a good chat in general, a good review of your general physical health and a general examination. And then I suppose it's a point to consider that whether you want to be referred on to fertility specialists.
So by that thesis, then, if you're a little more relaxed, you're more inclined to conceive.
We know that stress affects fertility because basically if you're stressed, you know, your body is very good at protecting you from stress and pregnancy is a stress to the body. So if you are under stress, for instance, if you're underweight or if you're overweight or if you're very sick, you are less likely to ovulate because your body will protect you from conceiving, which would be technically a further stress to the body.
Because you hear of couples who are, you know, desperate to conceive and they can't. And then they give up and say, well, can't we? Try. And they get more stressed out trying and thinking. And then they stop worrying because they say, we can't. And then they conceive within a week, you know.
Exactly. No, and a good friend of mine, I remember saying to me once, you know, she said, my God, I spent half my life trying not to become pregnant. If I'd known how difficult it was to become pregnant, I'd have thought about things differently. I think people become so focused on becoming pregnant that the whole experience of kind of an intimate relationship is lost, and that stress in itself throws off fertility. So when people come into me and they're trying to conceive, the first thing I say is stop using ovulation predictor kits, and most of the fertility specialists would say that as well. Having regular intercourse every 2 to 3 days all month is your best chance of conceiving because sperm can live for up to 72 hours. So if you do that, it takes the stress out of trying to have intercourse when you're ovulating. And, you know, and technically, whenever you do ovulate, there could be viable sperm around. So I often say, you know, this lady obviously has had two pregnancies, which is great. Her chance of conceiving a third is higher. But it sounds like maybe the focus is gone on becoming pregnant. And that in itself is probably adding to the whole stress situation, which is affecting her fertility as well.
All right, Nina, I've got tiny little lumps or hard spot type pimples on my eyelids just at the corner. They've been there for months. I can't seem to get rid of them. Any idea what they might be?
They could be just blocked hair follicles. And those usually just go away by themselves. But the old, what we call the bathing. So we talk about heat massage bathing. So you get cool boiled water, as hot as you can tolerate without scalding yourself, obviously, and put a hot compress on the eye. And then gently massaging along the eyelids and even along your nose up will clear any debris out of your tear ducts. And then bathing, putting a tiny drop of baby shampoo into the water and cleansing along your lids, almost as if you're taking off mascara. It'll clear any kind of waxy debris that might be blocking up the hair follicles. If those are getting bigger, and they can start to irritate the eye because if they get large, they can kind of cause swelling on the lashes, which can make the eye feel gritty. If that's the case, it is worth seeing your doctor, and occasionally specialists will actually kind of drain them or remove them.
Text to 51552 says, Ryan, I have a couple of questions for Dr. Nina. I've got facial hair specifically on my chin and neck. I've gone for laser treatment, didn't work, and as I have epilepsy, I really couldn't cope with the light from the laser. On that, I was only recently diagnosed with a form of epilepsy. I've been to a neurologist, but could my epilepsy be as a result of bulimia? And should I see an endocrinologist about the facial hair?
Okay, again, so there's a few questions here. If you have an eating disorder, your body, particularly we see it in those with anorexia, is you start to get this downy hair all over your body. And it's because, especially if you're underweight, your body can't stay warm enough. So it produces more hair to try and keep your body warm, to keep your body temperature up. So increased body hair is associated with eating disorders. However, increased facial hair is also associated with a disorder called polycystic ovarian syndrome. And that's usually associated with irregular menstrual cycle. And changes in your skin such as acne and increased hair. So you can go to your GP and they can do blood tests to check for that. there are some of the medications, and I'm just recalling off the top of my head, but I think there are some of the medications that are used in epilepsy that can cause changes in hair as well. It's one of those things I'm digging out from previous multiple choice questions, but it is ringing a bell with me there. So that might be worth talking to your GP about. Does bulimia cause epilepsy? Not directly, but obviously bulimia does throw off your electrolytes, such as your sodium and your potassium and your magnesium. And if those are out of sorts, you are more prone to seizures. However, so they wouldn't necessarily be epilepsy. They'd be seizures from other causes. But it sounds like if you can't sort out the hair, your GP can do a lot of the tests. But obviously, yes, you may end up being referred to an endocrinologist.
Nina, I'm 31 years old, male. I've always been able to handle a night out boozing. However, the past few months, every time I come home after a few beers or wines, I vomit. It's not excessive drinking. It's no more than I'm used to, but I always feel the need to get sick and I hate it. It's not like I'm really drunk or anything. I haven't changed the drink either. So any thoughts on that, says Adam?
Well, it could be that if you've been drinking kind of over what's considered normal for quite a while, your stomach could be inflamed and you may have an ulcer or something like that. And obviously that can cause problems where you feel nausea and vomiting and excessive acid. What I would suggest is don't drink at all for a month. Give your stomach a rest. Consider asking your GP for a tablet to help with acid in the stomach and see if those symptoms settle down. But if they don't get checked, things like chronic nausea, vomiting can be, some people have gallstones feel like that after meals. They're not particularly alcohol. If you are drinking excessively, it can cause inflammation in your pancreas that can lead to a lot of general symptoms as well.
I know a couple of guys who I would have been boozing with down through the years, and they were, you know, they were able for it and they were grand. On a night out, they could be the last man standing when I was well gone home. And then they hit a certain age and they can only handle a few beers at night or not too many. And they're, totally changed altogether.
Well, remember, your body is probably much able to cope with stress in your 20s than it is in your 40s. I mean, things do change as you get older. Your lifestyle changes as well. So maybe in your 20s, where all you had to think about was looking after yourself, going to bed and sleeping off the hangover next day. In your 40s, you may be at a time in your life when you have, you know, other responsibilities. So you can't lie in till 1 o'clock or you can't just, you know, soothe yourself all day the next day. And you might have, you know, over time, if you've eaten, a lot of people who drink heavily also would, you know, be prone to the kebabs on the way home, and they may have put on weight or have had other problems with their gastrointestinal system. So the body is less tolerant of stress as we get older, particularly if we have abused our bodies earlier in life. So it sounds to me like this guy needs to go along to his GP, have a general checkup, a review of lifestyle in general, because I do think there are a lot of Irish men who think they're drinking within normal limits but are not. They shouldn't be drinking more than 17 units a week, which is really just over 8 pints a week.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
I know, I feel like the Grinch, but it's the truth.
No, I know, but you're telling the truth, but you're also talking to Irish people, and, you know, we're in denial about that, or we just pretend it's not happening because we're just, we drink way more than that.
We do.
I think most people, Irish people, anyway. So look, we'll leave it there on that unpleasant note. Nina, thanks so much. We'll talk to you, well, I won't talk to you for a little while because I'll be gone on my holidays for a while. So I'll just say thank you so much.
Okay, and enjoy your trip. Take care.
Come on the road sometime when you're not busy making excuses to avoid us.
No, I would absolutely love to. And you know what? Yeah. I love horses, so I would love to have been there.
Oh, you
today.
Would have loved it here. Yeah. Good Lord. Okay, thanks, Nina. We'll talk to you soon. Nina Burns joining us live on the show today.